Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to Meatloaf Monday. It is a Meatloaf Monday all day long, and we got a sound effect for that, so play it, man.
I think I'll try the meatloaf sandwich.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, meatloaf.
What is it? I'm only asking in case I have to describe it later to a doctor.
Look, it's nutritious. It's delicious.
Made out of meat. Add ketchup if you want. I couldn't care less.
Was there a delay on the button over there?
There was some delay for some reason there.
We're sitting there staring at each other, and you're giving me the, yeah, like it's coming. Don't worry.
We got there eventually.
Meatloaf Monday. All right. Hey, we got a lot of stuff going on the tap. And by the way, pushing buttons so ably on the board. JP, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. By the way, did it snow earlier today? Did you see that?
Did it snow?
I saw flurries. I couldn't tell if it was sleet or snow, but it looked like flurries.
If it did, there's not a gallon of milk left at the store.
No, it flurried hard for about 2 minutes and then went away.
Wow. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
I got big windows in my office. I must have been hunkered down doing the business of the people.
Something important. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, hey, we got a great show laid on for you today. By the way, there's a lot of things happening in the news, just like major stuff happening in the news. But no guest today. There's so much content that I just needed time to unpack it with you and hear your input alongside it. So, yeah, we're going to just go straight to the triple dipper today, man. Just straight on it. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, reconciliation. Well, does that mean we're reconciling? Everybody's happy? Kumbaya? No, that's not what it means. We're talking about political reconciliation. We're talking about reconciliation bills. What is that? Well, it's a special way of getting stuff passed sometimes up in D.C. And there's a means by which Trump is asking for it to be used to get his entire agenda packed into one bill. We'll talk about all of that, plus things that happened in D.C. today as part of number one on the Triple Dipper, reconciliation. And then number two, I got to run a little bit on the world stage because, y'all, Justin Trudeau just resigned today. Ah, man. Girly man, the president or premier of Canada, just decided to go ahead and call it done. So, yes, right after Trump got elected and threatened him with tariffs, he decided, well, I'm out of here. So Justin Trudeau, 9 years in office, is now tendering his resignation to the public. We'll talk about that, plus several other things that are super key on the world stage, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, just, you know, there's some decisions being made, some things being done, some of which is like, you know, shots being fired by Biden as he backs his way out of the White House. We got a batch of jackassery we got to talk about. This is going to be a sound effect heavy day. I can feel it already. Jackassery, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way. And I'll remind you guys that every single day, The Right Side Way monologue brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. And I'll tell you about him more in just a minute. So let me say this. I'm just finishing a great book. It's a classic. It's a classic that I don't know how I missed it all these years. The book is called Once an Eagle by Anton Meyer. And the book is a story of two men who entered the military service at the same time. One was a leader of men who developed others, who acted without thought for his own self, who changed lives and saved lives and was decorated for valor in combat. The other man, the key man in the book, was a self-serving, opinionated elitist who got his rank and achievements by playing backroom politics. Both were leaders, both knew their jobs, but their approaches were vastly different, and only one of them had honor. But there's an old saying that heavy is the head that wears the crown, and it speaks of the fact that leadership bears the burden of responsibility, that it can be lonely at the top. In my own personal experiences, I can tell you, whether running a business or standing for public office or commanding a military unit, that can be a very true thing. But it's also just part of it. Leadership can bring great joy as well, though, especially if it's a calling and a gifting that you're operating in. Leadership is something that is needed right now. Because there's another old saying that as goes the king, so goes the country. It's basically referring to the fact that a man or woman at the top can actually set the tone, can steer the ship, can help stoke the fears or quiet the discontent, all by the way that he or she leads and addresses situations, especially in times of crisis. People will look to their leaders to see what to do, to find an example, to get their direction. Real leadership is often defined as the ability to exhort or encourage people to do something they might not have otherwise done on their own. Leadership comes with authority, sure. But leadership also provides authority by empowering other people to feel like they can do something or achieve something or gain something. Leadership matters. And for the past 4 years, we haven't had a leader at the helm of our country. And it shows. And there's a great movie, by the way, in the same theme of what I'm talking about. It's a great movie that outlines a people that need to hear from their leader. You may have seen it. It's a true story that was made into a film back in 2010. It's called The King's Speech. The title's a double entendre. It refers to a speech that was given by the King of England at the onset of World War II, but it also refers to the fact that the King of England at the time had a little-known speech impediment, something he'd been able to hide from the general public for much of his life. But at a time when the world was unstable and unsure and Nazi Germany was threatening to take over all of Europe, the people needed to know that they had the steady hand of a strong leader at the helm. They needed to hear from their leader. Okay, so if you know of any of English history, you may know that in the late 1930s, just prior to the Second World War, that the then King of England actually abdicated his throne. Abdicated it because of the laws surrounding his desire to marry a woman who was not approved by the laws of royalty. So as a result, Prince Albert took the throne as the next in line, and it was very unexpected. Now, what people didn't realize, because he was not an overly public figure, was that Albert had a very serious speech impediment. It had haunted them for years. But because of the times in which they lived, most of England had no idea. So soon after Albert took the throne, though, England entered into war with Nazi Germany. And it was a dark time. It was a very scary time, with Hitler marching across the continent and the United States not yet involved. England was very much alone. Europe was reeling. Italy was aligned with Germany. France was under duress. And like I said, the U.S. was not yet in the fight. And the British people needed to hear from their king. Their king, who had trouble speaking in public. A speech impediment for which there's no shame, but yet many who might hear him for the first time as he gave a public address might hear a stammer in his voice and mistake it for fear, and it could cause a total loss of national morale. At least that was the thinking. But the young king had been working with a speech therapist whose methods were new and different and seeing results. It was a truly heroic story as this man, whose head was heavy with the crown during a time of war and international crisis, he worked and labored and did everything he could to overcome an inability to speak clearly and succinctly. He did it because he understood that the times he was in did not afford him the luxury of staying silent. His people needed to hear him. He was their leader. So he walked in the authority that God gave him, and he struggled to overcome a speech impediment so that he could convey a message that resonated with an embattled nation. When it came time, he swallowed his pride and prepared a great speech. But it was decided that with the prepared speech, he would actually focus and try to remain quiet in a place that was prepared for him to do the speech. And he did. In a dimly lit soundproof studio with a prepared speech, he focused and concentrated. And without a hitch, without a trace of his voice speaking or shaking, he delivered a speech for the ages. He rallied the nation via the new medium of radio, and he faced Hitler with resolve, and the people were inspired. Look, the thing is, the king in that story, it's a true story, by the way, could have just said, someone else give the speech. Or he could have also labored to be what his people needed and then botched it. But he was determined to be what his people needed because he knew that as goes the king, so goes the country is more than just a cliche. I can think of other examples of as goes the king in the Bible, in Joshua 24. Joshua, who followed Moses and led the nation of Israel to the promised land, he was dealing with a worn-out, beat-up people who were belligerent. And he didn't threaten. He didn't cajole. He didn't mandate. He just stood in front of them all one day, and he said in Joshua 24, "You decide who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people saw it, and they followed him. Charlene and I, we actually have that verse embedded in a marble stone on the front steps of our house. In another biblical example, King Josiah took the throne of Judah, And soon after, he was shocked to find a copy of the Holy Scriptures. He didn't know what it was. The nation of Israel had forgotten its roots. I mean, can you imagine an Israel that had strayed so far that even the king himself had never read the words of the Bible? But when the new young king read them for the first time, he knew what he had to do. He rallied up the nation, and he personally read the words of the Bible to his people. His story ends in 2 Kings 23 by saying that no king before him and no king after him ever turned to the Lord with all of his soul, with all of his strength, and he led the people by his example. My point is this: leadership matters. Not just leadership by virtue of one's position, but leadership by deep care and concern for the well-being of one's people, the history and the viability of the nation, a real and concerted effort to preserve them for future generations. It's not enough for the person in charge to simply say, "I'm in charge." I mean, to some degree, you have to earn it. A part of the fabric of this nation of ours that we live in now is freedom of expression, self-determination, and the ability to express ourselves. But what that means is there's rarely going to be a leader who escapes criticism, which means that a truly effective leader is going to have to prove themselves. And in the process of doing so, it will naturally come to be that people will look to see how that leader then expresses or speaks or acts in crisis. We can all have the luxury of fussing and debating when times are good. But when times are dark or tough, the troops need to look to their commander for confidence and direction. Me personally, I've worked for some great leaders, folks that I would storm the gates of hell with. I've also worked for some self-serving sycophants whose authority came more from the fact that they had a position or a rank than from any posture of leadership that they projected. But right now, as I speak, here on January 6th of 2025, right now our state and nation needs more than just platitudes and threats and mandates. None of us want hollow rhetoric or empty executive orders. None of us want mandates. We want to know that tomorrow the sun is going to rise and we're going to be here to see it, and here's the plan to get us through to the sunrise. State governors and national presidents, they're vital. They're required by our constitutionally mandated form of governance. We're always going to have one. And we've seen, though, for the past 4 years that it is possible for someone to be thrust into that position who does not even have a clue what it means to inspire or to be selfless or to sacrifice greatly so that others can rise. We've had 4 years of anything goes because nothing was off limits and no one was in charge. As goes the king, so goes the country. The Biden administration set a tone, a negative tone, and the nation felt it. But a change is coming. And my hope is that the new Trump administration will rally up the people to their best moments in their worst times, not because they say so, but because they lead so. As goes the king, so goes the country. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, as goes the king, so goes the country. And I'm telling you, leadership absolutely matters. But it's not just leadership because you were elected. It's leadership because you earned it. And it's leadership because you set an example. And it's leadership because you inspired. And it's leadership because you project confidence. We haven't had that in 4 years. Me personally, I'm looking for the change. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Listen, it is unbelievable right now. I was showing during the break, JP, that video.
That's great.
It was great. So Kamala Harris just broke the glass ceiling as the first woman of color to ever certify her own loss for president. But the video of her face and Speaker Mike Johnson's face, who was sitting next to her, kind of up close, when you can read the expressions, sort of like the subtle cues in their face. Oh, man, it's righteous. I'm going to post that on my social media here shortly. But yeah, good stuff. Hey, listen, before I go any further, I got to remind you guys. So the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way opening monologue is attorney Stan McDonald. He's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville. Look, Stan McDonald's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. Not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs, he has been an absolute warrior over the years on causes that are near and dear to the Right Side Ruffian community. I know him personally. I think the world of him, and I can tell you for a fact that is true. So attorney Stan McDonald, yes, he has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions. He knows how to represent you in state, local, federal courts, all of it. When Stan McDonald's on your side, we like to say you have no greater friend and your adversaries will have no greater foe. So here's the deal. You need an attorney in the Huntsville region. Attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Here's his phone number. You ready? Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. That's Attorney Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. And here's that ridiculous thing I got to do. No representation made the quality legal services before the great quality legal services before the other lawyers. Or something like that.
Something along those lines.
I hope nobody ever comes along and goes, I'm sorry, sir. In order to be in compliance, you have to read that clearly.
Slowly and clearly.
Slowly. You have to enunciate. Whatever. Like we're really going to advertise somebody as being a cheeseball lawyer. All right. Hey, listen. Yeah, but going back to the topic at hand a moment ago. So Kamala had to certify Donald Trump. Oh, the righteousness of it. It's so good. I mean, like on several levels, it's so good. But yes, that just happened a little while ago. So Donald Trump has officially been certified. Now all we got to do is get him sworn in. It does not mean stop praying for him, though. I'm saying I think this is the most dangerous time. He needs to be prayed for his safety, for his ability to be effective, for his clarity of mind and purpose, all of it. But Donald Trump has now been, and J.D. Vance, have now been officially certified, with the results from each state being reported by members on the floor and the vice president presiding over the body, receiving the certification and announcing it as complete. So, yay! Let's get some applause out of that one. How about that? That's just worthy. Might need a dual round of applause. Give me one more. I just keep it going.
The music just started.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, we're already at
rats.
The
All right, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. Plenty more applause where that came from. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like from the top of Huntsville all the way down to Birmingham and from Tuscaloosa back over to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And 1 week from today, we go live on WGOW out of Chattanooga. That's going to be cool. Looking forward to that. We were trading emails today with them, just making sure that everything's in sync, right?
Yep, we are tracking as of now.
I'm thinking their engineer is like working on some stuff today. So if you're listening, shout out to you. We're glad. We're looking forward to be on WGOW starting next Monday in Chattanooga, which, by the way, that has a listening range that covers all the Chattanooga region of East Tennessee, down into northwest Georgia and northeast Alabama. So
we just about got like the top north of Alabama going into Georgia, northeast Tennessee.
Yeah, easily. Good stuff. Looking forward to more. Press release went out today, by the way, announcing the fact that we not only are adding Chattanooga to our radio broadcast lineup, but that we are also officially telling the rest of the world who hasn't already figured it out that we have two additional podcasts in the mix. Did the most recent Controversial Mom come out last night?
It did. It went up last night.
Outstanding.
Got another Liberty Minute coming this week as well.
And then My Right Philosophy is in production right now.
Yep. We had Birdman's come out last Friday too.
Yep.
We're rolling.
All right. So we got four video podcasts, Right Click, Right Philosophy, Liberty Minute, and The Controversial Mom, all of which are up on our website and available on YouTube and others. RightsideMedia.org has all our stuff, and we go live with our Right Side Radio show in Chattanooga next Monday. So good stuff. You had a shout out for somebody on YouTube.
J.E. on YouTube is commenting. Well, first he said that winter has arrived, LOL, which I think everybody has noticed that.
Yeah.
But then he also said, good, the state of Canada doesn't need a liberal governor anyhow.
I don't know if Justin Trudeau's ever going to live that down.
No, he's not.
It just feels like
he got bullied out.
It's like literally he was like, get out of the sandbox. It's not your sandbox. And he just like, okay, and got up and
all
left.
All right, I'll leave. Took his toys and left.
Jeez. it has such a feckless look to it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not so sure that he wouldn't have been like called out by his own governance anyway, but when you've got the world superpower to the southern border calling him out hard and threatening tariffs, and then he quits?
Yeah.
What does that look like to you?
It looks weak, like his tail is between his legs as he's leaving.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, hopefully Pierre Poilievre can get in there soon.
Can I have an amen? Do we have an amen? Is there an amen?
No,
sound?
We don't. We need to get an amen sound all in right. there, but
we,
yeah.
We do. Wait, I think we have one.
We have a hallelujah sound in there.
Play it. Pierre Poilievre as a future Prime Minister of Canada, what would that sound like? Go. Yes. Several people in the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Dave from Madison says, I seem to remember that when Biden came in that he undid a bunch of Trump's executive orders. Recently, I thought that I read that Trump won't be able to undo Biden's EOs. Which is it? Can the president undo his predecessor's EOs or not? Yes, but. So that sounds like a law school answer, but there it is. So yes, a executive order can be undone by another executive in succession or in the future. But the difference is going to be how they were styled. Like, for instance, there was an executive order done today that I'll probably show up later on my show here on the Jackassery section. Biden has apparently decided here at the last minute to go ahead and ban oil and gas drilling in like 625 million acres of offshore region of the United States' territorial waters. Okay, on the way out the door. However, he claims authority of congressional act to do it, meaning that they have applied the interpretation of existing law to say, basically, this should have already happened, so I'm going with it. Arguably, it hasn't happened. Arguably, President Trump can come in and undo it. But also, arguably, is a congressional record or a piece of legislation that is being cited as the grounds for which it has to be done. So Trump will now have to have a legal team review and apply the law contrary to that position in order to make his revocation of it stand. What you got?
Well, I'd say he went on some show today. I can't remember which one. Trump, yeah, and said that he's just going to unban it day one, the offshore drilling.
Might as well.
But, you know, like you said, he's got to find a way for it to get... Because if he doesn't find a way for it to stand, then every Democrat that comes in is just going to ban it again. And then a Republican president is going to have to come back in and then unban it, and it's just like flip-flop. You
know? It is. It's a ping-pong game. And, yeah. and the thing that they have to do then is the Congress has to get involved. Congress has to come back and say, never our intent, don't do that.
While we have the majority.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Anything you do with congressional action is going to be more lasting. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff that Biden's done. Things like, I hereby revoke catch and release at the border. I hereby stop spending money on the wall. I hereby believe that LGBTQ agendas are worth pursuing in the U.S. military. You know, that Trump can undo those in a heartbeat. There is no existing law by which the Biden administration was able to sustain those. It was a matter of policy. Policy can be undone quickly. Policy based upon congressional action, got a little more work to do. Hope I explained it. John from Huntsville checks in. He says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Here's some flurries coming down right now. He says, by the way, JP, did you see that Bo Nix and my Denver Broncos defeated the second string Chiefs team? Yeah, he goes into
38 to nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty epic. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, what's even more important than leadership to me, talking about my monologue, is honest leadership, which we definitely haven't had for the last 4 years. He said, I want to have the information to make an informed decision on whether the leader is doing the right thing or the wrong thing so that I can voice my opinion and hopefully at least have a discussion about right or wrong decisions. I'm for you, man. Totally agree. Yeah, honesty and transparency. You wouldn't think, by the way, there's a great song by Billy Joel called Honesty. The lyrics to that song, I should do a whole monologue out of it. John from Brownsboro says, at least Kamala wasn't allowed to hide the DNC for this one. Nice. Nice. Brian from Huntsville. I am brokenhearted, he said. A president that swore to defend our Constitution against enemies both foreign and domestic to award George Soros the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He is a spat upon many good men and women who have received that award. I completely agree. So last week, I did my monologue. Was it Friday? What day was that, Friday?
It was Friday, yeah.
I did a monologue Friday. If you haven't heard the news, I did a monologue Friday, and then I wrote an op-ed over the weekend that got bigger, and then I decided to go ahead and do an entire podcast on it, and that comes out Wednesday on this very topic. So, Brian, thank you for cueing me. If you have not heard this maddening news, let me lay it out for you. The top two awards that can be presented to a civilian in the United States are the Presidential Citizenship Medal and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The Citizenship Medal is number two. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is the top honor that can be awarded to a civilian. They both require a presidential decree. They both should have a very limited review because you don't want to cheapen the medal, right? You don't want to say, everybody gets a participation trophy, because that's where we are. Trump gave out 24 in 4 years. Biden gave out 29 in one day. Just in my op-ed, I said he just basically had everybody belly up to the buffet, an all-you-can-eat buffet of medals. It was gross. So last Thursday, I think it was? Yeah, Thursday.
That he rewarded which one?
The Medal of Citizenship.
He did one on Thursday, but the Hillary and Soros one was Saturday morning.
Saturday, I know, yeah. So I was about to say, on Thursday, without much fanfare, all of a sudden, poof, wait a minute, there's a ceremony at the White House? What's going on? 19 citizenship medals, which included one to Liz Cheney. Oh, for the love. Just when you think the ignominy, the ignobility, the actual just incompetence could not go any further, you suddenly have on Saturday morning a very quiet press release goes out. On Saturday. Look, if you want to bury the lead, you drop the press release on a Friday afternoon and you go to the House. To drop it on a Saturday morning is like saying, shh, don't tell anybody, but we have to have at least a written record. And so they dropped a press release on Saturday morning about a Saturday event in which the president was going to give out 19 medals of freedom. 19. And I ask you, should the biggest awards available be given out in batches? It's like he's giving them out in wholesale bulk right now. Like you went to Costco or Sam's and bought the big bag. And guess who got them on Saturday? The Presidential Medal of Freedom, among other people, George Soros and Hillary Clinton. If that does not boggle your mind or make you want to throw something, or throw up for that matter, I don't know what does. The very idea that a medal designed for the honoring of those who have done the most to benefit society, to advance democracy, to increase the economy, to serve their fellow man, the very idea that he would pick Hillary Clinton, the actual abdication of authority during Benghazi, and the one who pushed the reset button with Russia that went nowhere, the one who has so many smears next to her name and called everybody who didn't like her a basket of deplorables, the one who, when she lost her election to Donald Trump, she couldn't even come out of the back room to address the people who were crying and supporting her. That person got a medal. And then George Soros, the guy who has literally put billions of dollars into trying to undermine Western society, who has funded all of the DAs who are going into the lawfare business, people like Alvin Bragg and George Gascon and Larry Krasner and Jose Garza in Texas, who prosecute innocent people and ignore crime. You're talking about George Soros gets a Medal of Freedom? George Soros and Elon Musk's word, George Soros hates common man and is doing everything he can to destroy Western civilization. And George Soros has got a medal from Joe Biden. Whew. Okay, listen, now you can understand why you can see, you hear the passion? You hear it? There it is. That's why I had to wind up doing a whole podcast on this. It comes out Wednesday, but my op-ed came out today in 1819 News, and it'll be in a bunch of other news outlets over the next few days. Trustful Tribune probably tomorrow.
By the way, also it's up on our Right Side Media page on Twitter. If you want to check it out there too.
Oh,
so.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. But the truth is that's what we should expect really from a Biden administration. They don't have a clue what it means to lead or to inspire. My whole monologue this morning or this afternoon on the idea that as goes the king, so goes the country. What we just saw with the giving out of batches and batches of medals, of like, you know, the all-you-can-eat buffet of medals, is a classic of as goes the king, so goes the country. We need to get back to real rewards. In fact, I called those participation trophies for the Biden world. It's just unbelievable. Whew, that was like a mini dipper, man.
It was. Yeah, I think that was the establishment rewarding itself. That's what I saw it as.
Yeah, that was a self-licking ice cream cone. Yeah, that was
like telling Joe Biden to reward, you know, the people who tell Joe Biden what to do. Okay, now give me a medal, pretty much.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. A self-licking ice cream cone. All right, take me to a break, brother. We'll take a break right now. We'll come back, get a few more texts, and jump on in. Dipper number one, reconciliation. What's going to happen in D.C.? We'll tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I just posted, so I got to give props, first of all, to JP. He helped me rip the video. I couldn't get it off of online. He performed some of his techno whiz.
Techno whiz.
That hoodoo you do.
And, black magic.
Yeah, just got me the video of Kamala breaking the glass ceiling as the first woman of color to certify her loss for the presidency. But the video is so good, y'all. It's set to the theme song for the show The Office, and it draws in closer on their faces so you can see the nuances of how they're facing, or how their faces are. And I said with Johnson is like the quiet thrill of victory, and hers is the stoic agony of defeat.
His smirk is so funny.
He's just doing all he can.
I love how J.D. Vance was in the front row too to watch it all.
Nice.
It was perfect. It was poetic.
It's very poetic. It's karma for Carmela. There you go. A couple more text messages real quick. JT from Lacey Springs says, Harris certifying the election was likely a huge serving of crow, but I think more likely it was a slice of MAGA pie. I agree, man. MAGA pie. John C. from Madison says, another stab in the back to the American people by banning drilling just before he leaves office. Oh, yeah. It's part of that jackassery segment that I'll have later in the show, but yeah.
But what makes it worse is he knows that Trump's going to unban it. So it's just like a petty, like, you know.
It's petty. It's also, it's going to be a little bit self-serving because he's going to be able to say, I did a thing. And you're going to look at it and go, if you really wanted to do the thing, you would have done it 3 years ago. Mm. But you didn't do the thing until you were scared that your legacy was not going to be held up. Yeah. No, well. Bill from Huntsville says, evil rewards evil for doing evil. Yes. Yes, it does. All the time. Jenny from Decatur says, Biden doesn't have walking around sense. Somebody decided who was getting the medals, and the puppet had to present them. Such a joke and a slap in the face to Americans that actually love this country. Yeah, I don't know what interns are running the White House right now, signing his name to things, but I doubt if he even saw the list before they came out.
Didn't even know who he was giving them to.
I just can't help but wonder.
But I like... playing devil's advocate, what would be the reason George Soros should get that medal? Like, that's not me being partisan. Like, I can't even think of a reason they would say he deserves to get it.
Because he's given billions of dollars to Democrat causes.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, I can't think of any, like, humanitarian.
What else is there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts.
It's, yeah. I mean, like you said, he just hates humanity, but he gets a medal.
Okay. John from Huntsville says, I'm surprised the Democrats didn't create a huge solid gold participation trophy and give it to Kamala Harris today for coming in second place with 220. Hey, there's still time, man. There's still time. Still time. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, it seems the left continues to dismantle any tributes to merit and accomplishment, but they also so hated Trump that Trump awarded the Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh that had to have retribution with their own reverse trophies. Yeah, I guess. You know, you look at it and go, okay, Trump gave out 24 in 4 years. They were sparing. They were designed, if you break it down, I don't know how many he gave out in his last, you know, weeks, but they were designed to be specially and carefully selected and applied for legacy reasons. And yet I look at it and go, I don't know why he just gave one to Magic Johnson. He's a great basketball player, but what else was there? I don't know why he gave one to Michael J. Fox. He's a cool actor. I love Back to the Future and all the things, but he's fought with Parkinson's, and I guess that's why he's getting a medal. I don't know.
I love Denzel Washington. I don't know why he got one.
Denzel Washington's one of my favorite actors of all time, and he got one, and I just don't know why. So, anyway, more on that. And then Brian from Huntsville says Biden's legacy is corn pop. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hour number two coming up. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Yeah, buddy. All right, so I'm going to jump on into dipper number one. So first part of the triple dipper for the day, I'm calling it reconciliation because that's a big part of what we're going to talk about here in a minute. But I have to go ahead and point out that before I jump into what else is happening in congressional action, that the most important thing that could have happened today, and that's the fact that the election results have now been officially certified. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Can I have a hallelujah and then some applause? Just go ahead and do it. That's a great combination, man. That really is. So, yeah, the election was certified. Now we just get to the inaugural, which, by the way, it looks like the lovely Charlene and I are going to the inauguration. So that's big doings. If any of y'all out there are going out to the inauguration, I'd love to know. But we've already got it laid on, and I'll be doing some streaming back and forth from the inaugural events to the Right Side Studios where the JP can put them up. But yeah, the election has been certified. Kamala has broken another glass ceiling as the first woman of color to ever certify her own election defeat in a run for the presidency. Nice! And then, of course, immediately afterwards, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact, CNN immediately says, 4 years after the January 6th Capitol riot, VP Harris certifies a Trump victory. Like, why is that even necessary? It's so not necessary. Well, you know, 4 years ago, a thing happened. No, this is unreal. They can't handle it. So, all right, listen, I'll tell you what, let me do this. I'll take a call real quick before I jump on in. I got some content here I think you're going to want to hear, but let me just grab the phone. Wolverine Dan's on line one. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Very well. You're coming in very faintly. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, sir.
All right, great. Listen, it's been a really, really great month. I mean, think about it. I got a national championship. I beat Alabama twice in the same calendar year, and my Detroit Lions locked a first round bye. I'm telling you, it don't get no better. And then we're going to have a president that's going to clean all this mess up. And when you said it was confirmed on the vote, they certified it.
Yeah.
Was that Kamala doing that, or was is Kamala going to have
this?
It was.
Kamala.
Oh, she didn't mess.
She had to screw that up. She had to stand up there and preside over it. I just posted an image on my social media of Mike Johnson sitting behind her, just smiling while she had to keep a poker face on and certify the vote.
Oh, she didn't mess it up? No word salad or anything?
Nah, she went ahead and just went with it. But then again, I think she was reading it, so it's okay.
Well, our traffic report too. It's bumper to bumper here off the Rideout Road area. The exit going on to 565. It's a mess.
All right, well, be careful, man.
Listen. Bottom line is, listen. Go, President Trump. It's just a matter of weeks away. We're going to get everything squared away. It's a lot of mess. So there's going to be a lot of mops, a lot of draining buckets, and cleaning the water back out and mopping back up again. But we're going to get it all clean, Phil. We're going to get this country back in the right direction.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. All right. Take care, Wolverine Dan. Appreciate you. That's a good call. And by the way, like you said, out there by Rideout Road, it's a mess. So if you're in the go home mode right now and you're going in that direction or heading out in that direction, you might want to find an alternate route. Okay, so here's the thing. The Republicans now own it all. Now we haven't seated. I mean, we seated the House and the Senate, so that's good. Trump does not take office for another, 10 days, 13 days. No, I'm sorry. On the 20th, so 14 days.
Or 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today. But for all practical purposes, Washington, D.C. is now owned, if you will, by the Republicans. A conservative majority on the Supreme Court, a conservative slim majority in both the House and Senate, and a soon-to-be president's or executive branch. That's all the branches of government. Guess what that means? We own everything, including the mistakes. We also own anything that we don't do. If we come in there with a mandate that we've been given, I say we, they, but you know what I'm saying. If they walk in the door and blow it and don't get it done, and they can't move the legislation, and they decline to get something done, and they play politics as usual, and they spend, and they don't get the border secure, then guess what? We own it at that point. We own it. Now, having said that, I will say this. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson this past Friday, he survived what wound up being a very tepid challenge to his authority or his leadership. He was renewed as the Speaker of the House. Now, the majority is so slim that the count was like, whoo, like way low. And let's not forget that what we're looking at right now is not only is it a slim majority, I think 220 to 215, I think, is the max we can have right now. But here in the next couple of weeks, you've got Matt Gaetz is already gone, so we're down to 219. And then, so there was a special election coming for his seat. You've got the... You've got, Michael Waltz from Florida also gone. You got Marco Rubio in the Senate gone because they're all going to the Trump administration. So we're about to get real slow. Oh, and at least Stefanik from New York gone. So we're about to get real slim, like ain't no room for error. They have to get confirmed first before they'll resign, but nonetheless, my understanding, but nonetheless, we're going to need some people. And the truth is, if we're going to get something done, we got to move while we can. So Mike Johnson came on, Speaker Mike Johnson, after winning the Speaker's race, he gave a speech from the floor of the House. Great job. And I love this, by the way. This is what I would love. Not only do I love this speech, but what I want to see is the nuts and bolts of what they're going to do to fit into each category. So he outlined in his speech, with a 19-minute speech, he outlined 7 principles. I pulled this off Daily Wire. In his acceptance speech, he outlined 7 principles that he said would guide his time as a Speaker of the House. 7 principles. You ready for them? Number 1, freedom. Number 2, limited government. Number 3, the rule of law. Number 4, peace through strength. Number 5, fiscal responsibility. Number 6, free markets. And number 7, human dignity. Wow. You get all that done. Sir, you get all the, if those are your guiding principles. Now, see, I've said on this show before, principles are bigger than policy. Policy should be guided by principles. Policy too often is guided by whims. Which way is the wind blowing today? I feel, people like that instead? I'll do that then. I believe in this until I don't. You know, that's what we've had for the last 4 years. And then too often that's what we have, even when Republicans are in charge. What we need is principled leadership. And I'm going to tell you right now, Mike Johnson just outlined the principles that I care about. Freedom, limited government, rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. He's erring on the side of liberty is what he's doing. And that is huge. And if we can hold that line, it's going to be an entire new day for this country. He also said, by the way, that in doing so, those are the principles, but some of the things that are going to occur, he said that the absolute top priority for Congress, for him as Speaker, is securing America's borders. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Because, yes, that is, I mean, if we don't have security, we can't get anything else done. Now, here's the thing. We got some wrangling. Trump has an agenda, and it includes a number of things. Border security, extending the Trump tax cuts, and maybe even increasing them. And then you got energy. And those three things, those tax policies, energy, and the border, Trump is now pushing for those to be put into one piece of legislation. Just one. Like don't mess around. Now, you may look at that and go, okay, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. It's also very hard to do. Why? Because in order to make that happen, you have to have what's called a reconciliation bill passed. Typically, in the promoting of legislation, by the way, let me back up. There are rules and there are regulations that govern how the body can function. You can't just willy-nilly do stuff. There are procedures, there are votes, there are procedural votes, there are things that have to be done in a certain order, there are things that have to be said. Does it sound stodgy? Sometimes, but you know what? There's a formality to it that not only puts a solemn approach to the passage of laws, hopefully, but also means that things can't happen out of order. It means that somebody can't hijack the process. It means that people can't run amok. If you know the rules, by the way, you can get a lot done. I saw that in Montgomery. I'll never forget. Somebody told me when I first got down there, if you will memorize the rules, if you will know the rules, you will be able to get more done on the floor of the Senate than anybody else. And there were time and time again when I would recognize that the rules allowed me to say or do something when somebody else didn't want me to. And there were also times when I literally pulled the rule book out of the drawer at my desk on the Senate floor. And I would look at it and I'd go, shoot. And I'd walk up to the top of the front of the room and I'd ask the parliamentarian, if I go to the microphone, can I do this? And he would tell me yay or nay. If you know the rules, you can get a lot done. Well, one of those rules involves a thing called reconciliation in the U.S. Congress. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. What is reconciliation? Can we get all this stuff done at one time? Why do we want to get it done at one time? And oh, by the way, why would we not want to get it done at one time? I got plenty on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So reconciliation, what is that? So you've got right now the Speaker of the House is saying we're going to bring the Trump agenda, which what I love is it's the Trump agenda, but it's really the Republican agenda. I love the idea that we have an agenda. First of all, take note of the fact that it's been a while since we've been able to say we have a Republican agenda. It's been so much just catch as catch can, do what we can, get a little something, something put in the bill. Can we get it through the Senate? I don't know. No. I love the idea that we control our own destiny at this point. That also means we have to govern. There are times when being in the minority is actually easier because all you got to do is say no. Now that you're in charge, you got to get something, something done. Well, reconciliation is a means by which they can take things that are not normally considered germane and add them together and pass it. And I'm making that overly simplistic, but there it is. And I'll explain it more in a minute. But Trump is now asking, Washington Examiner has a piece. Trump is now asking for his major policy positions, his agenda items, to be reconciled into one bill that would then be passed right away. Now, when I say right away, it doesn't happen overnight. The bill has to get put together. It has to go through the committee process. It has to be debated. And that's not just because, well, they got to waste some more time. No, that's the process. That's what has to happen. And it should. That gives it a chance for bill to be massaged, to be worked on. And it should take that time. But they're still looking at, Mike Johnson says, where's that other piece I've got here? This one from Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. Politico. Speaker Mike Johnson says that the reconciliation bill in what Donald Trump calls a, quote, big, beautiful budget reconciliation package could be passed as early as April 3rd. Trump gets in office January 20th. Nothing is really going to happen in the week thereafter with all the celebrations and people moving in and all that kind of stuff. Getting their offices seated, confirmation of is a big deal in the Senate right now for the various Trump cabinet positions. But then comes the work. February, March, 60 days, hopefully early April, we see a reconciliation bill that has all this stuff in it. The problem is, this is not what the House and Senate originally wanted to do. The House is now apparently on board, but they're having to examine whether they can get it done. Because you wind up, when you put things together sometimes, having second and third order effects you didn't see. You also wind up having people who, I don't want to deal with that right now. I'm not ready to deal with the border, but I'll deal with you on the tax cuts, or vice versa. How much time do I have? Do I have time for a sound clip right now, JP?
Got about 2 minutes.
Representative Jason Smith. I'll tell you what, I'll hold it after the break because I don't want to have to cut him off in mid-sentence. So Maria Bartiromo did a great job with this whole thing over the weekend on Fox News. And she had an interview she had done with Representative Jason Smith, Republican out of Missouri, who is, I believe, the chairman of House Appropriations. And then she followed up with Senator Lindsey Graham, who threw a little bit of cold water on it. Not that he says he's again the projects. He's again doing them as one. He just wants to deal with border. First, he wants to do tax cuts later. I get a little concerned about that. Part of me thinks that's a establishment guy's way of saying, I'm not really ready to give back more money. I really think that me right now, sitting here, knowing what I know, which is not everything, but knowing what I know right now, I say package these bills up while we have the momentum and get them done. Do the reconciliation. Now, what is reconciliation? It's a filibuster-proof opportunity to pass things that normally don't get passed in one lump sum. It can only be used, by the way, get this. I pulled this off the Brookings Institute. Brookings Institute, Phil? Did you go there? I did. Brookings Institute. Kind of liberal, but they had some good stuff on this. They point out that reconciliation is a way for Congress to put things together like taxes and spending and debt limits and all that kind of stuff to where all you need is a simple majority to get it passed. Like 51 votes or 50 if the vice president kicks in a vote in the Senate. And then it avoids the threat of a filibuster. And here's the deal. It's only been used 22 times since 1980. That's kind of a big deal. This is what they used to pass the Bush tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, and, oh, by the way, the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare. But it can only be used twice in 1 year. I told you there's rules. There's a way they have to do it. Can they do it? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Reconciliation. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation and soon to be the one to our North Tennessee. Yeah, buddy. Right now, we currently go from the top of Huntsville down to Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Coming up here in about, 1 week from today. Exactly 1 week prior to the inauguration.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly 1 week from today, we go live on WGOW 1150 AM out of Chattanooga, and we are stoked. So looking forward to having East Tennessee, Northwest Georgia, and a corner of Northeast Alabama in the listening area live on the radio.
I like how it's 1 week after the certification, 1 week before the inauguration. Just right in there perfectly.
It feels rather, I don't know, prescient.
It's not a coincidence.
Rather timely.
Yeah.
Rather ordained. Can I have a hallelujah? I think I need one. I'm enjoying that sound effect today. There you go. All right. Hey, reconciliation. So I'm not going to belabor this too much, but there are rules by which the House, it's frustrating from the outside. Why are they taking so long to get this done? Well, part of it is because they have to. Now, if they put things together that are not usually germane to each other, by the way, I got to tell a funny story now. Now, see, I just did this. I just did this to myself. I got to chase a rabbit. I'm on the floor of the Senate in Montgomery. And one of the Democrats, Senator Bobby Singleton from Greene County, I believe, was up there, and he was wearing something out. And he was going to town, man. And whenever Bobby Singleton got it could be amusing. And I mean, he would intentionally be amusing, but he would like just crack us up sometimes. Other times it was maddening. But one time he was on something and he was just talking about stuff, and I thought, you know, he's not even being, and I was kind of being that guy. And I was just I looked at him and I wrote a sticky note. And I walked up there and I slapped it on the podium and I gave him the look and I walked away. And I mean, he knew I was kind of messing with him, but and I walked away and the sticky note said, "Stay germane." And he goes, "Stay germane. I have been told I have to stay germane. I'm going to be germane and Tito and Michael and the whole Jackson 5. How you like me now?" So there's a story that was really funny to me at the time. But anyway, so you got to stay germane to the topic. But the way you do this up in D.C. to get something done in a combined effect is what they call reconciliation process. It literally requires the House and the Senate to agree on what's called a budget resolution. In other words, they have to isolate by vote certain things to the side and allow for certain things to take effect and to be coupled together. I'm oversimplifying it, but what I'm truthfully telling you is to do a single omnibus bill like this called a reconciliation bill, there are procedural hurdles they have to get through. Trump wants it done. Trump is asking right now to get this done. Now, here's the other thing. You can get, and this cracks me up, you can get this stuff added together, and then during the debate, you have what's known as the Byrd Rule, named after former Senator Robert Byrd. And the Byrd Rule literally gives senators the right to object to any certain provision on the basis of spending or revenue, and they're allowed then to raise a point of order. Now, this, I mean, I did this all the time. I would go to the floor of the Senate, and I would say, you know, "Madam President, I have a point of order. For what purpose do you rise? I have a point of order, Madam President." "Yes, the floor recognizes Senator Williams for a point of order. State your point." And I would make my point, and then the parliamentarian would have to rule. And that's a means by which you can verify they can do something. You can also slow down the process, and you can interrupt their train of thought. I'm just saying, it's a tactic. But I would do this stuff, and that's what they're doing. The Byrd Rule in D.C. allows them to do the same thing. A point of order as to whether something is germane or merely considered incidental. If, in fact, they can get something carved out, it becomes known as a Byrd dropping. How's that? The Byrd Rule can create Byrd droppings, and those things that are cut out and lay around at the end are provisions that are no longer necessary. They're known as a Byrd bath.
That's funny.
Don't tell me they don't have a sense of humor in D.C.
Where's the Byrd seeds in there?
Yeah. Oh, I like it. What else can we do? Byrd seeds? I don't know.
Anything Byrd at all.
Byrd strikes.
Byrd
strikes,
yeah.
All right, so all that to say, Trump wants it put together, though. Is it too big to get it done? I don't know. I got a sound. Let me do this. I'm going to jump on that sound clip. Johnson says, Speaker Johnson says, he thinks they can get the reconciliation bill on Trump's desk by April. The Senate's got a little bit of a dash of cold water to throw on it, but let me play this clip for you first. Maria Bartiromo with Representative Jason Smith, chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, on why he thinks we need to do it and do it fast and do it now. Play it.
And now this.
I am saying we need a reconciliation bill that has border, energy, permitting, and tax. You put all four of those things together, we can deliver on that. In fact, in the House, we have been working for months, Maria, in preparation for this large omnibus bill. We need to deliver this win as early as possible to President Trump. And Maria, what everyone needs to pay attention to is Congress has not passed two reconciliation bills into law since 1997 when Newt Gingrich was Speaker. And guess what? They had a much larger majority. And you know what? The House of Representatives majority is 220 to 215 and will be at 217 to 215 in just a few weeks. We have a smaller margin than what the United States Senate does. It is harder to pass bills in the House than it is in the Senate.
Is there a risk that a second reconciliation bill doesn't happen at the end of the year?
Absolutely. That is what I've been sounding the alarm the whole time.
Okay, so stop it right there real quick because we're going to come back to that sound clip in a minute. What he was just saying was he's of the mind that we need to strike while the iron's hot. He's concerned about the fact that we're going to have a smaller majority even potentially later. We also, by the way, have several special elections, which are in safe zones. I mean, they're in very red districts, like to fill Lee Stefanik and Michael Waltz and Matt Gaetz' seats. But why run the risk? He's saying if we split this up, if we run it in two bills, if we put border security in one and tax cuts in another, well, then we run the risk of one of them not getting done because we're waiting till later when we have a slimmer majority to work with. I do not disagree with that. Now, here's the thing. Senate establishment guys don't like this idea. At least they're lukewarm to the idea. In the wake of that discussion just a moment ago with Maria Bartiromo and Representative Jason Smith, she had Senator Lindsey Graham come on. Lindsey Graham immediately went on a bit of a diatribe, and I don't disagree with anything he said, but he went on a she asked him about reconciliation. He immediately went into border security and tried to filibuster the moment. She actually had to bring him back around to the question of what are you going to do? He's telling members of the House and, for that matter, in the Senate, who are all for the tax cuts, that that's not necessary yet, that we need to work on border security as the only thing that we're concerned about because it's the number one thing on everybody's plate. Why put things with it? Why couple it together? I'm telling you, folks, that to me sounds like somebody who is willing to say, you know what, maybe we don't extend the tax cuts. We'll negotiate that letter. If they don't put border security with this, it's because they've got ulterior motives, in my opinion. They've got a plan. I don't think it's because they're concerned they couldn't get border security passed. I think it's because they're not sure they want to get tax cuts passed, and they don't want to get caught not voting on a bill that contains border security. That's what I'm concerned about. Let's tell you what. Let's play this Lindsey Graham a little bit. Go ahead and play it.
And that was House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Jason Smith with me last month on Mornings with Maria, echoing what appears to be what President Trump wants, as you just heard from the Speaker, Mike Johnson. That is one large reconciliation package within the first half of the year, perhaps to be on President Trump's desk by the end of April, to include border security, deportations, energy permitting, and tax extensions, all in one package, as opposed to two reconciliation bills, which was what my next guest was planning. Join me now with the agenda and the man writing legislation helping to set that agenda in the Senate is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. Senator, great to see you this morning. Thanks so much for being here. You heard Mike Johnson and what President Trump wants. Can you get it done?
I'm very worried that if we don't put border first and get it done, it's going to be a nightmare for our national security. We've got millions of illegal immigrants that President Trump has promised to deport, and he should. Why are we doing mass deportation? Because we had mass illegal immigration. Lakin Riley's murderer was released because there was no bed space to hold him, and he was paroled, and he raped and killed the girl. Right now, we have 41,000 beds. Under the Trump plan, we're going to go to 150,000 beds. We're going to double the number of ICE agents to find people and kick them out. We're going to finish the wall and put technology on the border to shut it down. That cost $100 billion. I'm willing to offset the $100 billion with cuts in other places, but there's no way in hell Democrats are going to give us $100 billion for mass deportation. Every day we delay is a dangerous day for America. 3,000 Americans die from fentanyl poisoning every 2 weeks. I've never seen so many threats to our nation as I do now. It started with Afghanistan. ISIS is on the move. They're coming here. Last year, we found 8 people from Tajikistan that were affiliated with ISIS. I wrote a letter to Schumer saying, let's have a hearing about ISIS-K in Afghanistan. He blew me off for an entire year. Now he wants a hearing about New Orleans. The threats to our nation are large. I want the tax cuts. They're $4.7 trillion. They will ruin the economy if they expire at the end of the year. I will try to be a team player here, but I want to tell the American people, from my point of view, the number one job is to secure the nation for the federal government. Our border is broken. I wanted it fixed by February the 17th to the tax cut wing of the party. I am with you, but if you hold border security hostage to get tax cuts, you're playing Russian roulette with our national security.
Okay, back. All right, stop there. All right. So what you just heard was someone who is advocating for border security, granted, and I get it, totally get it, but he's advocating for setting aside tax cuts in favor of just getting border security done by itself first. The question I have is, why are they not all on board with doing everything at one time? And if the House can get it all done at one time, why can't the Senate? All right, his point is he believes that one being coupled with the other could jeopardize the whole thing. If that's the case, then we don't really have a majority. What he's saying right there is that literally, there are members of the Senate who will vote for border security who are not prepared to vote for an extension of the tax cuts. That's what he's saying. He's also saying that there are those who are so hawkish on spending that they are willing to sacrifice border security to get the tax cuts done first, and they'll hold the border security hostage. Listen, I look at that and I think all the more reason to couple them together so everybody gets what they want at one time and be done. Now, will there be some massaging of the content? Certainly. Will they have this dollar sign move to that dollar sign? Yes. Will they move a decimal point here? Yes. Will they make sure that they include language that, you know, it makes somebody else happy in Texas but not in Arizona? I mean, yes, all that. That's the debate. But there should be no debate on getting all of it done. There should be a border security, tax cut, energy plan, put in one omnibus bill, pass it through reconciliation, and get it done. And now, I'm not up there. My political experience is in the state capitol. I don't know what I don't know in terms of what they know, because I know for a fact there have been times when I have been in the middle of a debate and had somebody in the media say something and me think they don't understand the process. So if there's a piece of this that I don't see right now, someone is welcome to explain it to me. If you can tell me why not, then okay. But the rules allow for reconciliation twice a year. The rules allow for it to be a coupling of things that would otherwise not necessarily be germane to each other to get done in one omnibus piece. President Trump is calling for it. The House is saying they can do it. The Senate needs to be ready to do it. And this is my concern about having people like John Thune and Lindsey Graham being in charge, because the establishment does not like to be told what to do. And the establishment does not like to be told they can't spend more money. And the establishment does not like to have procedure move them faster than they would care to go.
Well, I saw he did, Thune did an interview. He said that his job is to explain to Trump what's realistic in the Senate and what can be done. And it's like, no, that's not. That's not your job, actually.
Well, I mean, he runs the Senate, but if it turns out that the Senate is going to pull another John McCain and not repeal Obamacare kind of thing, then my God, I'm gonna go scorched earth on that. All right, we got to take a break. Let's take a break right now. I'll come right back, and we're going to switch gears. There you go, reconciliation. The plan is underway. The debate is yet to come. They got to reconcile the bills, so to speak. Oh, my gosh. The machinations in D.C., but y'all stay tuned. We're going to talk about the world stage next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, man, giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. There it is again. The right screen. They're talking about what we just covered. An entire section. Just
they listen.
I'm telling you they do.
Somebody from Fox is listening.
Somebody. Well, CNN was doing it a second ago. Right before I told you to turn around, CNN had the same. They're watching the live stream, I guarantee you.
Well, you know, maybe instead of copying our show, why don't they just, like, call and have you on, like, you know, Fox News one day and just do it that way.
The day that I sit on the curvy couch on Fox and Friends, I will know that I have arrived.
Yeah, exactly.
I remind everybody that I am sitting in the same time slot on the same channel at the same everything that Sean Hannity started on.
That's true.
And I would settle for half of his salary. There you
have
it.
Just half.
All right. Hey, listen, we got several text messages. Let me catch up on some of those real quick. Cameron from Decatur earlier about the presidential medals that were given out ad nauseum this past weekend by Joe Biden. He says Michael J. Fox and Magic Johnson want their money in something. I think your typos are killing me here. Want their money, their influence, and their considerable backing to medical causes to bring attention to those causes and to raise money to the cure. Okay, I get you now. Hillary Clinton, George Soros did nothing, but there you have it. In England, they confer knighthood on people like Elton John, so we can see where all the standards have dropped. Cameron, good text. Once I figured out what you're saying. Red from Tony, Alabama, says, do you think Kamala is hurt that no one showed for her to protest?
Like no Democrats did a January 6th, I think it's what he's saying. Nobody cared enough that she lost.
She didn't have the crowd. They didn't rally to her cause. Whatever.
Nope. But also, after she certified the vote, everybody, this may be a tradition, I don't know, but everybody, Republican and Democrat, stood up and applauded. Because, you know, yeah. when she read off Trump's votes, Republicans applauded, Democrats applauded for hers, but then at the end, they all applauded.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and you know, here's the thing. People say, how can Mike Johnson sit up there and actually talk to her? In politics, you compartmentalize.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to.
You have to get stuff done.
That's exactly right. And there was, for instance, Vivian Figures, who's a state senator. Her son is the new congressman, Shamari Figures. She's extremely liberal. I don't recall us ever agreeing on policy. But we sat next to each other in the Senate Judiciary, and I like her as a person. And we would talk, and we would laugh, and I would, you know, just because you have to. You compartmentalize at times. All right, lastly, Marcus from Huntsville says, more than I could say in the time I've got. So we'll go to take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. That is the mantra, y'all. Solid conservative and just plain right. Sitting here in the studio, sporting my new pullover that my daughter gave me for Christmas. Sporting.
Looks nice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I will tell her you said so.
Actually, this is a Christmas gift, too. So
you're sporting.
Yeah, we're both sporting today.
Sporting. Sporting it.
I had to break it out, you know, because it's snowing. Not right now, but it was.
It's actually apparently going to be winter for a while. At least for today.
Allegedly.
Yeah, at least for today. Yeah, by the way, if you had the live stream going right now, you'd see me sporting my new pullover from my daughter. But check that out. We stream the show live every day. If you're not already aware, the show is not just live on radio. It is also live on the big wide world of the internet. All right. So you can go out there and stream it, live video and audio or audio, from, YouTube, Twitch, Rumble. Where else? Oh, twice on X?
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anything?
You said YouTube, right?
I think I did.
If you didn't, then YouTube.
And our website.
And the website, yeah, if you go to rightsidemedia.org.
But rightsidemedia.org, that's us. All our stuff's on there. All right, so let's do Dipper number two for a minute. Y'all, we got to talk about what's happening internationally, because I think what we're seeing, my sense is that what we're seeing is a shifting of the political winds beyond the borders of the U.S. And I think part of that has been emboldened by U.S. politics. I do. Yeah, I said earlier in my monologue, as goes the king, so goes the country. Leadership has influence, is my point. Well, that is also true in the world geopolitical politics. You've got the United States, when it does something of a scale, the rest of the world looks over there, takes notice, but it empowers. When people in Italy see the grassroots pushing back against liberal mantras in the United States, it emboldens them. Giorgia Meloni is now the prime minister of Italy, and she is extremely conservative. When we look down south and see budget cuts by Javier Milei down in Argentina, fuerte, a fuerte.
I love him so much.
it emboldens us because we watched him actually cut government, cut spending, and they didn't collapse.
And I think that greatly inspired Elon to create the Doge with Vivek.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is, on the geopolitical side, yes, there are times when things will happen and it emboldens people. There's also times when things will happen and it causes change. Like what just happened in Canada. Can I get another hallelujah? I mean, Canada. We just saw Justin Trudeau resign. What? Did this happen? Yes, it did. So townhall.com had a piece that came out yesterday saying that Justin Trudeau, reports were that he was going to resign this week, like maybe as early as Wednesday. He didn't make it to Wednesday. He resigned on Monday. So we already have that basically his party is expected to be decimated in the next federal election, which is like later this year. The Trudeau government like suffered a serious blow when his when he lost some of his top officials. Chrystia Freeland and Sean Fraser both resigned. I mean, Trudeau was facing one no confidence vote after another and barely surviving. And it was clearly seen as the people of the nation getting sick to death of the hyper-liberal policies of big government. They got a ration of it during COVID badly. I mean, Canada stayed locked down longer than California. I mean, it was unbelievable. They were arresting pastors, and we had some of that in the United States, but Canada was on a national scale. The quarantining was unbelievable. And then you had the grassroots begin. Do you remember the Truckers Freedom Convoy? Remember that?
I do.
Oh, that was great.
That was awesome.
I loved it. I did a whole segment on that on the show when they were doing that. The Truckers Freedom Convoy, and oh, by the way, they were shut down. The big hand of government came in and not only told them to disperse, but began arresting people and freezing their bank accounts for daring to have a voice. It was sick. And then you look at what's happening on our northern border. So it's not the same as the Mexican border in terms of the masses of people, but we are seeing an exponential increase in illegal border crossings from Canada, and they're doing nothing. I mean, our relationship with Canada is supposed to be different than Mexico. It is. Canada's like, you know, our brother to the north, right? We play soccer and basketball and hockey and baseball against all of them. We speak the same language, largely speaking. They have the French speaking at Quebec, but generally speaking, the Canadian public speaks English. We've actually had units that were formed together between Canada and the United States that fought as one unit together in World War II. They're our ally. They're part of the massive infrastructure of major allies that we rely on. And yet, they have been going down a liberal path that beats. It's like watching California writ large in Canada. Well, Justin Trudeau was getting his backside handed to him. What they were having happen over and over again was every election, every parliamentary election, more and more conservatives were gaining ground. More and more conservatives were gaining ground. More and more conservatives. And to the point that it was obvious that he was hanging on by a thread. Because they have what's called a coalition government there. And the party in control is allowed to pick the prime minister. And he's been in control for 9 years. But this little effeminate guy running a Western nation, I mean, does anybody look at him and take him real serious? I mean, does anybody in the Middle East go, well, oh my gosh, what did Justin Trudeau say? No. He's like this little nebbish who somehow or another sweet-talked his way into the office and they don't know how to get rid of him. Well, today he resigned. So Town Hall reported yesterday he was expected to resign with a disapproval rating around 68%, by the way. 68%. I mean, y'all, in polling numbers, that's massive. 68%. I'm pretty sure Darth Vader would get a better polling than that. Today, Fox News reports at roughly midday, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced on Monday he intends to resign as party leader and prime minister after pressure from within his own party. He's also in the wake of threats from Donald Trump to have tariffs put on his country. So what you're looking at here, remember this, by the way, just what was it, last month, Donald Trump said, if you don't secure the northern border and stop the influx of fentanyl and illegal human trafficking and people crossing over illegal into my country, I'm putting a 25% tariff on everything you do.
Yeah, I don't even think it was a week after November 5th they did that.
Yeah, it was like right away. And then what happened? Justin Trudeau got on a plane and ran down to Mar-a-Lago real quick. I mean, there was no state visit. There was no fanfare. There was no got to get to know you, glad you're back. It was more like, hey, can we not do that, please? I'm in a perilous situation up there. This will be very, very hard for me. And just
Trump's, he hasn't even been in office yet, and he's already toppling down Trudeau in Canada.
I'm loving it. So Justin Trudeau, in his resignation letter to the nation, said, as you all know, I am a fighter. Said, I'm not anyone who backs away from a fight. Okay.
Fake news.
Yeah, really. But he led the nation for almost a decade. And he's calling now for his own party to set a new election. He'll stay in office until the election. I'm hoping that Pierre, say it for me.
Poilievre.
You're sure?
Pierre Poilievre, yep.
Pierre Poilievre.
Yep, you got it.
Look, Pierre Poilievre is the man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know him. And I don't know anything about anything he's done in life, generally speaking, but I have listened to his rhetoric on the floor of Parliament. I have listened to him dismantle the press, and I have watched him stand in the face of liberal opposition. And I'm saying, if he became the Prime Minister of Canada, it would be a whole new day.
Yeah. He did a like 2-hour podcast with Jordan Peterson, like I think it was last
it awesome?
Week. It was, yeah, I listened to a lot of it. He's spot on every single topic. And not only that, but he exudes confidence and like he acts like a leader. And just that alone, I mean, this Canada hasn't had that ever since Trudeau's been in office. So, but I think he posted something on Twitter, a video saying that right now, they're probably going to replace him with somebody who's just as liberal as Trudeau until, I can't remember what month this year the actual election is, October.
Yeah.
So he said, although this is a win for now, technically, he said, don't get too excited because they're probably going to replace somebody who agrees with everything Trudeau agrees with. But he said, like, the real win will come in October when the Poilievre will hopefully win the election.
Well, that would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. And I know you've seen it. It's one of my favorites is when he's standing there munching an apple and a member of the liberal media is trying to question him on something. And all he does is munch the apple and go and just return questions with questions.
Yeah.
In fact, I wonder how that would play out on radio. Can we play that on the radio and make it work?
I don't know. I've
it doesn't
the
have
audio,
near the effect.
Yeah. But that, yeah, you got to see him just nonchalantly eating
just
the
standing
apple.
There eating an apple and biting it off like, and he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
He's biting that apple really loud. And the guy asks him a question. He'll go, who says that?
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that? Why would you ask that question?
Yeah.
What policies?
Explain. What do you mean?
I'll tell you what. Let's find that during the break. Let's take a break right now. We got to take a break. We'll take a break right now. We're going to come right back. We're on the world stage. Listen, that's Canada. We'll talk a little more about Canada. But then, y'all, Greenland? Could Greenland become a U.S. territory? And then what about Italy? Well, not a U.S. territory, but what about Italy's Giorgia Meloni coming down to Mar-a-Lago? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, dropping truth bombs everywhere. That's what we're doing. JP just did some of that hoodoo and pulled together the audio clip of Pierre Poilievre. Why can I not do it, say his name?
Poilievre.
Pierre Poilievre.
Yep.
There's an R in there, and it's apparently silent.
It's a silent R.
Dadgummit. Pierre Poilievre, who is right now is certainly my pick. If I could vote in Canada, I'd be voting for Pierre come October, I believe it is. There's a clip of him. Well, there's a lot of clips of him. There's a lot of audio out there or video you can watch. I challenge you to take a look at it. It's worth it because he is like a case study in how to speak truth to power, and he's also a case study in how to dismantle the liberal media. And he does it with such calm and you know, aplomb. But let's go ahead and listen to one. Now, picture, if you will, are they standing like in an orchard somewhere?
Yeah, it's an orchard.
They're standing in an orchard. He's munching on an apple, and a liberal member of the media is trying to bait him with questions that are designed to put him in a bad light. And it, all he's doing is handing it right back, and the media guy does not know what to do.
Where I got to pause right now is just him, like, mid-apple chew, looking off and, like, smiling at somebody, like, knowing what he's missed, like, what he's doing.
And he's eating the apple the whole time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page of Donald Trump's book, but
what are you
also
talking about? What page? Can you give me a page? Give me the page. You keep saying
in terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau and the left wing and all of this. I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm
not
sure.
I don't know what your question
is. Okay, then forget that. Why should Canadians trust you with their vote?
Common sense. Okay. Common sense for a change. We're going to make common sense common in this country. We don't have any common sense in the current government. You know, the guy prints $600 billion, grows our money supply by 32% in 3 years. That's growing the money 8 times faster than the economy. No wonder we have the worst inflation in 4 decades. I'm going to cap spending, cut waste, so that we can balance the budget and bring down inflation and interest rates. You'll want to be able to pay your mortgage again. You want to be able to afford rent. Then you have to vote for Pierre Poilievre, because I'm the only one with a common sense plan that will bring back the buying power of your paycheck.
I love it. The whole interview's that way. Well, we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, I think he would be awesome for Canada.
Yeah, I think he'd be awesome for America.
Yeah, for America too.
I mean, I think if we had a neighbor to the north like that, with Donald Trump and a Trump administration and a House and Senate acting together to try and do conservative things, I think you're looking at a whole new day for the Western Hemisphere at that point.
And, you know, I don't live in Canada, but I sense some momentum, kind of like I sensed towards the end of Joe Biden's tenure as president and Trump, you know, starting his campaign. I sensed momentum.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that just from, you know, a distance view of Canada. I feel some momentum behind Poilievre, and Trudeau stepping down too adds to that. So we'll see what happens.
You see Poilievre's speech on the floor of Parliament talking about why Trudeau needs to go and what the. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Listen, Nigel Farage in England, Pierre Poilievre in Canada, Donald Trump here, Giorgia Meloni in Italy. There's a movement around the world right now that is gaining a lot of traction. Like I mentioned, Giorgia Meloni. All right, so Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni in New York Post has a story that apparently she was in Mar-a-Lago this weekend. She's the Italian Prime Minister, and she was, by the way, she's also famously the person who kept Joe Biden from wandering too far away from the photo op. Remember that? She went and got him at the parachute incident. But anyway, yeah, Trump met with her, and so did Secretary of State designee Marco Rubio, and they basically talked about how she's taken Europe by storm, and they're glad to have her as a friend and an ally. And then they even screened a new documentary together. They just basically enjoyed an evening with you know, a lot to talk about, I'm sure. By the way, Trump's also been dealing with French President Emmanuel Macron. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Trump's been doing more foreign policy work than Biden has in 4 years. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right, we're taking a break right now. When we come back, though, I'll continue this thread because there's a lot of things happening in England, Great Britain, that are very disturbing. And there needs to be a change in government simply because of what they've been allowing to happen if what they're saying is true. Holy smokes, it's going to curl your hair. Get ready to get mad, maybe a bit disgusted. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say, this show currently goes from way up on top of Huntsville all the way down to Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in. Just for good measure. And, oh, by the way, about to add Tennessee. So, yeah, East Tennessee, we are looking forward to having you in the Right Side fold. So a week from today, Right Side Radio goes live on the air at WGOW AM 1150 in Chattanooga. the big talk station there in Chattanooga, and we're pretty stoked about it. That covers a lot of space too. That one station covers all the Chattanooga region in East Tennessee, as well as Northwest Georgia and Northeast Alabama.
It's a pretty good signal. Also a great lineup they got up there. I know Bongino, Shapiro, I believe, in the mix there too. So we're joining a great lineup up there too.
Yeah, we are. I think it's going to be the same, much like we have in Huntsville.
Yeah.
And I believe Mark Levin will follow us. Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything, but we're pretty excited. But yeah, anyway, looking forward to having that. And you guys, listen. Right Side Media is growing. We just sent out a press release today. I know that some of y'all already know, but we have added two additional podcasts to the repertoire. We got a lot going on. So Right Side Media, the parent company, has multiple productions and products. And we now have Right Side Radio, which is still the three-hour daily. That's where we started. But now we also have four separate podcasts, video podcasts. We have Right Philosophy, that's mine. We have Right Click, that's Birdman. We have Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. We have The Controversial Mom with Moms for Liberty founder Emily Jones. And then we also podcast the live show every day, so you can pick up the audio again later if you want to. And it's just crazy how much is going on. And then, oh, by the way, I've got a written op-ed that comes out in like 18 different news outlets around the region every week. So. Still trying to figure out how all this happened, but we're glad you guys are along for the ride, because if you weren't there, it'd be a waste of time. All right, back on all this stuff, this walk on the world stage, there's some really disturbing stuff coming out of Great Britain right now. Now, first of all, Keir Starmer, Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer is the current Prime Minister, and he is not popular. He's only been in office for 6 months. There's already talk of him being gone. So a new poll just came out. Breitbart has a story that aired yesterday. Breitbart says 1 in 3 Great Britons or Britons believe that Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer will be kicked out of office before the end of the year amid growing discontent with his leftist Labour Party government's agenda. Once again, the grassroots is showing that it is sick to death of Liberal policies. Says a third of voters in a survey recently conducted do not expect Prime Minister Starmer to last the year. 68% of them say he's doing badly. 69% say the country's headed in the wrong direction on things like cost of living. And there's apparently a growing crisis in their social health care system, which is another story in itself. But there's also a huge amount of anger growing over mass migration. People are sick to death of watching their country, you know, like our southern border. England's been facing some of the same things. 68% say the government needs to introduce an annual cap on legal migration and stem the tide of mass migration. Okay, that's going on right now. Starmer's government right now is considering whether they would try to, you know, pull a fast one and work it out to where 5 million foreign nationals who live in Great Britain would be allowed to vote. That sounds like a great plan. Here's an idea. Let's get folks who aren't even citizens to vote. Where does that sound familiar? I mean, I've heard that before. Where was that? Oh, California. So, yeah. But that's public sentiment on things that are related to policy and politics, the economy. But then there's a scandal that just kicked up in the last few days. I could have pulled this from a number of sources, but I pulled it from Town Hall. Town Hall, Dateline yesterday. Elon Musk accuses the UK Prime Minister, that's Keir Starmer again, of ignoring grooming gangs. They're basically saying that there are gang rapes happening by Muslim men in Great Britain on a regular basis, and that the government knows about it, and they try to downplay it because of political correctness. My first thought when I heard this was, is this one of those like social media rumors? No, it's not. The reason why this came to light is that a confidential report was done internal to the British government, and a member of parliament took it to the floor of parliament and read it out and wanted the prime minister to answer to it. Why have there been an estimated 250,000 rapes in Great Britain just this century alone? Y'all, that's 24 years. Why, in the first 24 years of this century, have there been an estimated 250,000 rapes, many of which, it says in the report, have been done by gangs of Muslim men who patrol the streets looking for a victim, and sometimes even grooming their victims to be ready for the day they can gang rape them? It's just, it's a level of sickness and depravity that I can't even wrap my head around. But it goes one step further. I got to thinking, it's a scandal. It's absolutely a scandal. If there's validity, but then here's where it gets worse. I did not know until today that Prime Minister Keir Starmer's resume includes the fact that he was the former director of public prosecutions for Great Britain. In other words, he was like their attorney general, suggesting that Keir's actions clearly indicated an overreach on his part to downplay the safety of young girls. Accusations are now going against Starmer, claiming he suggested that young girls under the age of consent could make, quote, informed choices. That's why we have statutory rape. That's why there cannot be relations with a child, because the child is legally determined to not be able to give adequate consent. He's saying they can. That's a quote, by the way. It comes after it was revealed that Keir Starmer had sent an email to police forces nationwide while he was the director of public prosecutions, advising them against investigating sexual exploitation of young girls. What? Who does that? Elon Musk is now accusing the prime minister of consistently failing to hold rape gangs accountable, particularly Pakistani Muslim grooming gangs that systematically exploit underage girls. If there's a granular evidence that that's true, he should not only be thrown out of office, he should be tarred and feathered and dropped in the English Channel. We should be done with him. No one who acts like that should be allowed to stay in office. Do I know all the facts? No. Does it have a ring of authenticity? Yes, when you consider it's an internal report to the British government and emails from Keir Starmer to the police forces nationwide advising them to downplay the sexual exploitation of young girls, phrasing it as they can make informed choices.
Not only that, there's factual, like, this isn't partisan. Like, there are reports of a father who called the police because his daughter was being raped. And not only that, he called them 200 times. 200.
200 times.
Before they came, and they ended up arresting the father for being a stereotype.
Oh, my gosh.
And another was, you know, the sort of a similar instance, except the police came up and arrested a 13-year-old girl who had just been raped because she was drunk. These are factual reports that have happened in England, and it's a disaster. And not only that, they're threatening to come over here and arrest Americans who are calling it out and extradite them to England. Come and try that. You know, try that.
Oh, that's right, because I forgot that they have the Office of Misinformation over there that literally says, we covered that on the show a while back. I forgot about that says that they would choose to pursue extradition on people who would say mean things on platforms like X.
Yeah, calling out gang rapers is the illegal part, not arresting the ones who are doing it. It's...
Look, that's a level of messed up I can't even begin to fathom. That's not governance anymore. That's anarchy. That's allowing something to happen because you have an agenda, and or because you're feckless and scared. I don't know. Now, by the way, let me back up. I love Great Britain. Phil, why would you say that? I lived there for 3 years. Look. Living in England is where I accepted Christ. That was the change place for me. That was a moment in time for me that is exactly, I was a messed up kid. My dad was in the army and was stationed in London, England. I like to say that God knew that I needed a 3-year timeout. And I did. I had to get out of some of what I was in. I had to get away from some of who I was with. I had to go to a place where I was detached from all of it. God knew that I needed a 3-year timeout, and that was in London, England. I went to high school at London Central High School, which was on an American Air Force base. Actually, it was on a British Air Force base, RAF High Wycombe, London Central High School, American School for Dependents Overseas. And it was life-changing for me. And while I was there, I got to see, and appreciate and tour around and basically it's on my bucket list to go back. But what we have seen, I mean, the World Evangelism Council has said that England is not even what they refer to as a Christian nation anymore. I'm not talking about Muslim, I'm talking about behaviors. This is a sickness that's got to be dealt with. And the people of England have got, of Great Britain in general, Wales, Scotland, all of it, Northern Ireland, you've got to rise up and say, enough with this. This is not our country anymore. I got time for a call. I think I got about a minute. Is that Clarence? Clarence is on the line. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, man, doing good. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
I tell you, there's only one way to eradicate rapists.
Tell me.
Kill them.
Well, there is that.
All of them. You think about it, and people say it's harsh to think that, and how about people that can be rehabbed? You can't rehab the person that you raped from your nasty crime, period.
Well,
I don't care.
And when you send
them to prison, guess what they in there doing? Raping each other. That's a heyday for them.
The reality is, put the death penalty on it and see what happens. I don't think they even have the death penalty in England.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Let me just go ahead and tell England to stop with trying to pull me back over there. I'll be your first tribute. Have fun.
All right,
but,
man.
The big thing with England, too, is we're starting to see it here in America. You can't say nothing about anybody in a different religion besides Christianity and get away with it. You say something about Islam, you a hate crime.
Oh, yeah. That kind of stuff's got to stop, because if it's wrong, it's still wrong. And I don't have
That's
to agree
exactly
with
right.
it. And you can't make me agree with it. And not condemning is not the same as condoning. Just the bottom line is back up off my views on the world. But I agree with you, man. Hey, listen, I got to go to a break, brother. Take care.
Have a good one, man.
See you, Bear. That was Clarence. All right, take it to a break, man. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. You know what? I'll end on a slightly higher note. Take some text messages. And then let's pontificate about whether Greenland is going to be a U.S. territory. Taking bets on that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. By the way, I don't know if he's going to be able to call in today. Jeff from Indiana sent me text messages of the snow he got up there, man.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like serious snow.
Serious snow. Yeah, well, I was complaining about little flurries. Looks like he's got at least like 4 inches on the ground.
Oh yeah, easily yeah. 4 inches. And he also sent me a picture of the this totally like raided grocery store. Like there was this empty bread aisle. Like there's nothing in it. And so I get it. Hey, I got it. All right, let's wrap this up real quick, and then I'll take some text messages and take us to the end of the day. Meatloaf Monday, by the way, but Greenland. Have you ever looked at how big Greenland is?
It's massive.
It is massive.
And a lot of resources.
Lots and lots and lots. Population is pretty small.
I think 57,000 is what I saw.
Yeah, so the population of Greenland is smaller than, Huntsville.
Yeah.
I mean, how's that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm not sure what the population of Madison is, but I would you looking it up right now?
Yep.
So 56,000, you said? 56,000 people live in Greenland right now?
I think it was 56,800.
Okay. What's the population of Madison, Alabama?
Population of Madison, Alabama is 60,854.
Wow. So I was pretty spot on. So Madison and Greenland, roughly the same population.
Yep, just about.
Okay. So that's crazy. Actually, Madison's bigger.
Madison is bigger.
But there's this, like, here's one of the many stories I could have pulled. Daily Wire, Dateline, 2 days ago. Greenland's prime minister calls for independence from Denmark. I did not realize until recently that Denmark is the sort of the parent, if you will, that Greenland is considered to be a territory of Denmark. Trump is saying, hey, we'll take it. He did that last time, remember? But you know what it does is it creates a buffer. If we had that, it's a basing opportunity in the Atlantic. It's resource rich. We can provide better protection for them than Denmark can. I don't know if they need protection, but there we are. And it's right there in our backyard. And listen, it is so big that if we were to acquire it as a territory, it is bigger than the entire Louisiana Purchase.
Wow.
That's how big
it
is.
I realize that.
Yeah, it's massive. It would. I don't think we'd make it a state. I think it'd be a territory, at least for the time being. If you make something a state, all of a sudden they've got senators and everything else, and I don't see that happening.
No.
But nonetheless, what do you think? Greenland? You like it?
That'd be awesome. I've picked up on Trump's negotiation strategy a little bit. Tell me what you think of, if you think this is accurate, where he starts off at the most extreme end, where like, he'll take Greenland, but also his expectations aren't so high. So then when that doesn't work out, he'll come back and him negotiating and conceding is still a really good deal in the first place. Like, for example, with Trudeau of, you know, trolling him and all that. And it's like, he'll make an extreme claim, but then what was the result? Trudeau ended up, you know, leaving office of it. So,
but he draws attention to it by doing that too.
Exactly. Yeah.
All of a sudden the public goes, wait a minute, Greenland, what?
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, no one thinks about Greenland.
I think it's part of the art of the deal. You know, he goes to the extreme end where it'd be a great result, but it's like, okay, well, if that won't, can you at least, you know, do this? You know, and they're like, okay, fine. And then that in and of itself is a great deal. So
yeah, he knows his threshold of pain before he walks in the door. Mm-hmm. And he'll go ahead and throw something way out there, knowing that he's willing to come back to something else.
Yeah, and that something else is much better than anybody else would have gotten. You know,
absolutely. The grades are in, and several other text messages. Grades are in from John from Huntsville. Says Phil gets an A double plus for his nearly perfect performance. However, today's winner with the perfect A triple plus for his magnificent sound effect skills is none other than the amazing JP. Congratulations and hallelujah. He says, by the way, sorry about your Falcons.
Hey, we're on to next year. We're on to next year.
There you go. Jeff from Athens says, let's get the Greenland New Deal done. I like it. Brian from Huntsville says, he says, where was he?
I got him right here.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what he's saying here. Tongue in cheek, he says, God bless us all and help our friends in Puerto Rico, yet for our territory, Greenland has more stable power grid. He says, by the way, note, already donated to a ministry team going to Puerto Rico. Okay. Good for you. Thank you, man. Appreciate you, Brian. Jeremy from Madison said, did Justin Trudeau resign because he got his feelings hurt by Trump so badly? I think so. I think that's part of it. I think it was a national embarrassment for them. He didn't know what to do. He handled it so poorly. That was just part of the overall. All right, you guys, Meatloaf Monday. We're done. But, hey, don't forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.